Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, before we get started with today's episode, have you heard the awesome news? Llama Life now has an iOS app so you can take it with you wherever you go. I have been using Llama Life consistently on my computer for a year now. A year! That's unprecedented. That's like a lifetime in ADHD terms. And now with the new iOS app, I'm able to seamlessly transition between my computer and my iPhone so that my favorite little productivity coach is with me whenever I need it. So what is so special about Llama Life? Well, for starters, it's not a fancy new calendar or planner or complicated productivity management system. It's a time-boxing, single-tasking program that easily integrates with your already existing organizational systems. If you're like me and you struggle with time blindness or maintaining focus throughout your day, then this is the app for you. I love Llama Life because it's simple, effective, and beautifully designed. And dare I say, it makes even the most mundane chore more fun and colorful. If you want to check out the iOS app for yourself, head to the App Store for a free trial and start enjoying that Llama Life for yourself.
And I thought, I wonder if there was just someone I could talk to about like my passions and my interests and what I like to do and what's meaningful for me and how I might be able to put something together. And then I just suddenly thought, or I could be that person.
Hello and welcome to the Women and ADHD podcast. I'm your host, Katie Weber. I was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 45, and it completely turned my world upside down. I've been looking back at so much of my life, school, jobs, my relationships, all of it with this new lens, and it has been nothing short of overwhelming. I quickly discovered I was not the only woman to have this experience, and now I interview other women who, like me, discovered in adulthood they have ADHD and are finally feeling like they understand who they are and how to best lean into their strengths, both professionally and personally. I'd like to share with you this review from a listener named Carrie Granted on the Apple Podcast platform in Ireland. It's entitled, Thank You. This podcast is like therapy in itself. It really relaxes my mind and helps me to be kinder to myself. I have been referred for an assessment as I struggled postnatally, and I'm really benefiting from the level of understanding and empathy in these conversations. I am a medical professional and can't believe this was never on my radar at all. Wow, thank you, Carrie Granted. This was really validating to read, and also I'm so glad these conversations have helped you to be kinder to yourself. I love that. If you are a regular listener of this podcast and you have been helped by these conversations, a lovely way to say thank you is to take a moment and leave a review, either on the Apple Podcast platform or on Audible, or you could simply stop and hit 5 stars. If you'd like to do it and you don't want to forget, why don't you just pause right now? Go do it and I promise we'll wait for you. Okay, here we are at episode 126, in which I interview Susan Young. Susan is a certified holistic life coach, multi-passionate artist, and the founder of Triple Moon Coaching. She specializes in midlife reinvention for women over the age of 50. Her recent ADHD diagnosis at the age of 56 was a complete shock and the missing piece of a complex puzzle. As an empty nester, a divorcee, and a domestic violence survivor who has firsthand experience with codependency, sobriety, and now ADHD, Susan knows a thing or two about starting over late in life. As a holistic coach, she believes transformation happens from the inside out, and she's a big fan of using creative right brain exercises to stimulate our nonverbal genius. Susan and I talk all about her diagnosis experience after her college-age daughter was diagnosed, and how Susan's life radically changed seemingly overnight after her diagnosis and medication. We also talk about how Susan left her 26-year career in order to help women meet their souls and their goals so they can blaze their unique path to a joyful and purposeful future. Without further ado, here is my interview with Susan. Enjoy. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to hear about your story and your journey and kind of what you are doing and working with women. after the age of 50. But first, let's start out with your diagnosis. You were diagnosed in August of 2022, correct?
Yes. I was looking back at my notes. It was actually the end of July, but yes.
Well, I feel like there's like a self-diagnosis date and then there's the official diagnosis date, right?
Yes. Thank you for having me, first of all. I appreciate having me on.
Oh, yeah.
So the self-diagnosis was earlier in 2022.
So your daughter was diagnosed first and she's in college. Is she still in college?
Yeah, she's almost 21. And so what happened was early in 2022, she just came over one day and said, with a lot of emotion, I'm pretty sure I have ADHD, just kind of out of the blue. And I didn't have this on my radar at all for myself or for her, or just, I was just like, okay. And she had a very long list of all the reasons, all the symptoms, which looking back now, I kind of get that. I feel like, you know, once you have that self-diagnosis and you really think you have it, there's this fear of someone not hearing that or dismissing it in some way. So she, you know, she had done all of her homework and she listed all these things and I recognized all of it in her. I mean, I was like, yep, 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 I totally see that. And then I said, and these are symptoms of ADHD? Question mark. And yes, and she informed me that she had gotten sort of a TikTok diagnosis. That's where she sort of first came across it. And then a roommate, that they kind of had similar ways that they approach things. And a roommate found out she had ADHD. And so anyhow, one thing led to another. And so we kind of talked about her getting tested and that was that. And then we had a second conversation a couple days later, and I had some time to think about this, and I just said, you know, I'm thinking it's possible that I might have ADHD as well. And she said, well, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm pretty sure you have ADHD, and here's why. And she proceeded to talk about, you know, all the appointments we've missed and been on the wrong day, wrong time, wrong place, you know, hauling them out of school for a doctor's appointment that's next week, and you know, and various things. So she mentioned something which kind of just was a big light bulb. She's like, when you grow up in a family that has ADHD, how do you notice if you think everybody's the same way? Because then I thought, oh my God, my mother completely, like we nicknamed her Hurricane Gladys. I'm pretty sure my brother, you know, so she's like, you know, I thought that everybody always just talked all over each other and interrupted themselves and just, but that's not necessarily how everyone talks or dinner. We just, you know, completely talk all over each other. So anyhow, that made a lot of sense. And so then I pursued my own evaluation, pretty sure I had it. And I got a recommendation from my therapist for an integrative practice that does assessments. And you know, I had an intake call. And then I did end up having like the whole full-blown, you know, 4-hour complete psychological profile testing. And then shortly after that, I had a like an hour consultation kind of with the raw data. They actually produced like a multi-page report that takes about 3 months, but they'll kind of get back to you with what their initial findings were. And so I just remember talking to him and they're a very trauma-aware practice. They're integrative. So he was very, you know, softly talking about trauma and the trauma spectrum and how it relates to ADHD and whether you had it as a child when you were born or whether there were experiences that, you know, do actually change your brain in the same way. And I didn't know where he was going with this. And I just suddenly, I just welled up with tears. And I was just like, but I don't even remember what I said, but it was a but. And he just said, don't worry. It's okay. I'm going to give you an ADHD diagnosis. And I was just like so flooded with relief. And where he was going with that was really just the more comprehensive way that one can address it, not only with medication, but with therapy and supplements and, you know, all sorts of other things.
endless conversations about ADHD on a podcast. Like, that's my treatment plan.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Well, it is a theme, I think, that we explore a lot on this podcast, is the theme of trauma, right? And so many of us have experienced it in our lives, either overtly, either as women, you know, either sexual trauma or sexist trauma or racial trauma. Like, there's so many issues that many of us have experienced, but then also the other sort of small T traumas around living a life undiagnosed, which was all of these ways in which we experience shame for executive dysfunction behaviors. And so then it's like a chicken or egg thing. Did the ADHD cause the trauma, or did the trauma cause the ADHD? And really trying to figure all of that out. But I don't think it's a coincidence that many of us have a lot of trauma in our past that we have to untangle.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And as a result, too, there's so much overlap with ADHD symptoms, not entirely, but, you know, 80% overlap with anxiety and depression and trauma responses. So it's really hard to sort out, you know. And in my case, I was going through a lot of therapy, and I do have anxiety and trauma responses. And so but everything could be addressed in that context.
Yeah.
Except for the executive dysfunctioning, which didn't really come up because it just wasn't something that, I don't know, it just didn't, you know, it wasn't something I brought up.
I want to get back to your daughter. And so many of us who maybe are a bit older than your daughter, who are diagnosed in adulthood, get pushback from our parents, like, you sort of like what you said, which is, well, everybody's like that, or, you know, that's just our family, or we're just quirky, don't be ridiculous. These are, you know, it's not ADHD, you're just, you know, lazy. And I think a lot of that comes from feeling attacked, right, as parents, like, oh, I didn't see this, and I didn't realize this was happening, and I didn't realize you were struggling as much as you were. And so now I feel like I'm a bad parent, I feel like I'm under attack. Did you feel any of that in her journey, or how this kind of unfolded?
I never felt attacked, and I never was inclined at all to question what she was bringing to me. And I fully recognized everything she said. I did feel bad that I didn't know enough to recognize the symptoms, because she had a really hard time in high school. And it wasn't until college, when you have no structure that you have with a family, and you suddenly have to figure it all out on your own. So I think, you know, we had some tears. When she recognizes her diagnosis and she looks back, and it's like, if only I knew, you know. And I wish I had known, but I didn't feel attacked in any way. And I did the best I could with the knowledge I had. And, you know, she's the one that brought it to me. So I'm just thankful for that. Because I would still be oblivious, I think, if she had not brought that forward.
Right. Yeah. No, you bring up a good point, which is that you're sort of dealing with the grief doubly, right? Because so many of us experience that grief of, like, once we are diagnosed well into adulthood, of the life we could have lived, or why didn't anybody see the signs, or why didn't I get the help I needed, right? But then you also, as a parent, then have to have the extra layer of grief of, did I fail, you know, not fail, but, like, why didn't I see this in my child, or how could things have been differently there?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, why did you decide to go with the, like, full-blown diagnostic testing? Was it just you just needed to know?
I don't know. I don't know if it was just extra validation I needed. You know, there's just this panic that someone's gonna not, you know, say maybe you don't have it. Like, I was scared of just going to my PCP and, you know, just sort of being dismissed, or, you know, I think I would doubt it if I just kind of did assessment, because I'd already done assessments online and I was, like, off the charts, you know. Mm. So I don't know. It may have been overblown, but I just kind of felt like at the time I needed more confirmation and just to feel solidly, because it was so new to me. And, you know, it's a big deal. I was 56. So it's just kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, I know, right? And I think, you know, for me, I just, my diagnosis was from like a half hour conversation with my GP. And one of the things I've talked about was how like, I always feel like I wish I had an official card in my wallet or something that could counteract so much of my own confusion and self-doubt around, do I really have this? And, you know, still years later, I'm like, still there's these moments where I'm like, I don't know, did I just misconstrue this whole thing? Is this something else? Am I, you know, did I fool my doctor? All of those conversations, you know, all of those thoughts that go through our minds. And when my kids, I had my kids for the same, similar to you, when I had my kids tested, I went for like the full gamut. I wanted to have a lot of that confirmation and validation moving forward with them, because there is a part of me that's always like, is this ADHD or is this something else? I think is the question I'm always asking.
Yeah, I think I anticipated that I'd have those questions for myself. And so I just kind of wanted to nip it in the bud. And I do feel like I have all this data if anyone were to ever ask or question, which I don't think anyone will. But it's like, well, let me show you my 10-page report here and read sections this and this and this and tell me if you have any questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I took the more roundabout route of just delving into it and making it my life's work. And now I'm like, I hope I actually have ADHD. It would be really embarrassing if I didn't. So a lot of women who are over the age of 50, I think, have the question of like, how is it important to get a diagnosis? Or even their doctor says, you've managed this long. What's the point of getting a diagnosis? You seem like you're okay, right? Like you figured out the structures that you need and whatever. Like, what's the point of a diagnosis? And I always feel like it's tremendously validating. I want to hear from you. Like you mentioned in when you reached out to me that it was life-changing. And so what does that mean for you?
Yeah, I felt like it's another layer of understanding myself. And I had done so much self-discovery, but there just felt like there was still something off and I didn't know what it was. And so, you know, I was pretty sure this was it. And I just really wanted to understand that. And quite honestly, I was excited about the prospect of getting some medication to see what that could do. Because, you know, I had a very hard to focus and follow through on anything. And that was what ultimately was such a big change is getting on some medication and trying that and having this ability to focus and get things done. And it just sort of opened up this world of possibility for me of what I'm actually capable of, you know. And I'd always had this sense that I wasn't living up to my potential in some way, that I just couldn't do certain things. And this was just a whole nother level of understanding.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things, I feel like a common sentiment among adults with ADHD is never feeling like we are grown up and figuring out like, what is that about? Like, I think on the one hand, people with ADHD tend to, because we're interest driven, right? We tend to have like a youthful enthusiasm about certain things. And then you combine that with the executive dysfunction and feeling generally kind of terrible about, or we're generally not good at quote unquote adult things like budgeting and planning and remembering people's birthdays and that kind of thing. Is that something that you, a theme that you would have said in your own life?
Yes, definitely. I have always felt like that I'm not quite grown up and that, yeah, I don't know how to do these things. And how did I raise children? And I still can't do the laundry. And, you know, thank God for automatic bill payment because that saved my credit score. Yeah, kind of all a sense of what do I want to be when I grow up, which is also something actually coincidentally I hear from women over 50 in general. But I think you touched on at least what I was taking from it was the idea of like, the passion sort of being very almost childlike, you know, with the sort of hyper focus and just getting so excited about a million different things. So yeah, it definitely resonates with me.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be something many of us share, which is like, we never got the manual. We never got the grown-up manual.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey friend, if there's one thing I've learned about ADHD over the last few years is that we can thrive with the right combination of accountability, planning, coaching, and peer support. Knowing all this, I set out to create the ultimate all-in-one coaching and accountability community for adults with ADHD or learning disabilities. I knew I couldn't do it alone, so I joined forces with one of my favorite ADHD coaches, Alex Gilbert of Capable Consulting, and together we launched the ADHD Lounge. The Lounge was created as a safe place for neurodivergent adults away from other social media, where we offer live group calls, co-working, and body doubling every weekday for accountability, focus, and skill development. We have weekly and monthly goal planning sessions to keep yourself on track. We also have one-on-one office hours with myself and Alex, and of course, friendship and lots of peer support. We have three different membership levels to meet you where you're at. So if you're looking for an affordable way to stay connected, productive, and accountable, while also having regular access to ADHD coaching and expertise, then make sure to come join me in the ADHDLounge.com. Again, that's the ADHDLounge.com. And as a listener of the Women in ADHD podcast, you can get 30% off your first month with the code PODCAST30. So head to the ADHDLounge.com and use the code PODCAST30 to get 30% off your first month. During the early days of my diagnosis, as I was deep into hyperfocus ADHD research mode, I kept searching for some kind of all-in-one, everything you ever needed to know about ADHD in women handbook that I could reference and keep at my fingertips, but I never really found anything that suited me. That's why I've taken everything I've learned about ADHD in women and adults who are socialized as girls, and I've gathered it into a concise, easy-to-access, self-guided, and self-paced course so you can feel like you've got everything you need at your fingertips. It's called Hey, It's ADHD, and it has everything you need to start loving your brain and living a more fulfilling, gratifying life. I built this course to be helpful wherever you are on your ADHD journey. I am so excited to finally be able to offer this course, and I truly hope this will help you develop a deeper understanding of your ADHD brain and how to embrace it as you build yourself a toolkit for your own life. So head over to womenandadhd.com and click on the Hey, It's ADHD course tab for more information and to get started. And now, what I'm curious about the medication part. What medication are you on? Is it a stimulant or is it a non-stimulant? What did you end up with?
I've been on dextroamphetamine, which is one of two components of Adderall. So it's a little less strong. And we tried that first because it often tends to have a less of a crash effect than Adderall. So I've been on that. We just kind of toyed with the dosage, but that's worked really well. I'm sure you're probably aware that there's a stimulant supply issue globally. So Adderall's been hard to find for a long time, and a lot of the others, dextroamphetamine was fine until just this last time I had to refill. That's totally out of stock now. And the only thing they could get was Adderall extended release. So I'm taking that right now. I don't know if I'll stay on that or go back when the supply issue is fixed, but.
Interesting. Cause I feel like that's another thing I hear a lot for women over the age of 50. I don't know if it's 50 is just sort of the cutoff, or if there's actual physiological reasons, but a lot of doctors for women over the age of 50 will discourage stimulants, right? And they try to like root women toward the non-stimulant antidepressants and that kind of thing. And I don't know if it's like a physiological reason in terms of cardiac issues, or if there's more of a like, you're probably just a depressed woman.
Yeah, sort of dismissive.
Who thinks you have ADHD, right? Like that kind of pat on the head, like, yeah, sure, we'll treat your ADHD. And so I was curious. I tried stimulant medication right away, but it didn't work for me. I don't know. I felt like the side effects were a little too much. I just felt agitated a lot of the time. It didn't. So I loved how quiet my brain was, but I also sort of felt a lot of, I don't know, like just... It was hard to describe. It just sort of like just like antsy in my skin and a lot of that stuff I ended up going off of it. But it's been working so well for my daughter that I was like, maybe I was on too high of a dose. Maybe I should have gone on a lower dose. I don't know. I feel like it's a full-time job trying to figure out medication.
Yeah, we have the opposite, actually. So it's working for me, but my daughter was like, I can't. It's just too much. She just felt like you, just completely agitated, like her heart was going, you know, and she was just just on fire and she just didn't like the way it made her feel. And she also experienced pretty significant crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I didn't get any resistance from the psychiatrist's office. And they are an integrative health place as well. So, you know, they're considering everything. They're not just sort of a throw you the medication and talk to you later. You know, and they were suggested the stimulant to try it. But I have read, I did read something about maybe over the age of 65. And I sort of saw that. And then I began to panic, like, what am I going to do then? And I just decided to put that down. I'm going to worry about that later. So maybe by then I'll be able to, you know, manage without. We'll see.
Now, it wasn't your diagnosis that prompted the career change, right? This was all kind of happening at the same time. You had already decided to go through this massive life change. And then you're like, oh, okay, now it makes sense why I'm doing this, right?
Yeah, I had, I knew I needed to make a change. And I just really wasn't sure what I could do. You have a creative practice, which I kind of thought about trying to do something with that, but I didn't want to, you know, ruin something that I do just for joy and try to monetize it somehow. And that would be a very long game. And so I just remember just thinking I need to make a change, partly because of my late in life divorce. My retirement plans have just completely gone out the window, right? So whereas I might have been able to stop earlier, now it's a longer time frame, and I just thought I can't continue this work for that long. And so I was just thinking, you know, and coaching had come across my radar, and I thought, I wonder if there was just someone I could talk to about like my passions and my interests and what I like to do and what's meaningful for me and how I might be able to put something together. And then I just suddenly thought, or I could be that person and be that coach and help people like me who've had, you know, maybe similar history and experience and kind of are at this point in life and wondering if they're enjoy what they're doing. Do they feel like it's meaningful? And so I was on that path and I signed up for a program, which I just absolutely loved, the Holistic Coach Training Institute, and was very, I just knew that it was something I was passionate about. But my idea was to kind of do it as a side hustle sort of thing for a while. But once I got the diagnosis, and then once I started, was on stimulants, I just, well, two things. One, I realized that I would never be able to really get this off the ground working like I was, because I was just so drained and just the time and the energy. But really, for the first time, I just had the confidence that, like, I can do this. I can start a business. I can follow through. I mean, there's an excitement to being an entrepreneur. There's a little piece of me that is hoping that this, you know, isn't some flash in the pan passion. But I don't think so. It's been sustained for a while now. But it was really just kind of the confidence kick that allowed me to kind of make that big, huge step. And so many things, almost everything in my life had changed, except for this very long time career. I'm maybe in a minority that I'd actually been in the same position for 26 years.
Well, I think those of us who did have steady careers, you can see some of the patterns there in terms of how creative the industry was, if you were able to do different jobs within that. Like, you can see sort of ways in which there are certain jobs that have built in interest, right? And so it's like, yeah, you were in the same industry or maybe in the same career, but it was like the career itself was fluid. And so I'm guessing, you tell me, what were you were in the commercial furniture industry, right?
Right. Commercial interior. So yeah, that's very true. You know, I have a design background. And although I was in a sales capacity, I just worked in these beautiful spaces, just gorgeous. And, you know, we worked with clients on the whole interior package. So it was around textiles and furniture and all this creative stuff. And it evolved with different clients and kind of what I did with clients. I worked with the University of Michigan for 20 years, like the campus and the health system. And then I kind of moved into corporate. So there was a variety of things I did, but you know, towards the end, I just felt like I wasn't being challenged enough. It's that thing with ADHD. It wasn't interesting me anymore. And so I could not focus. I mean, I would, you know, it was the whole breadcrumb thing. I did most, a lot of work from home actually. And I would find myself somewhere doing something and then wondering how I got there, what I'm doing. And I kind of go back and trace my steps. And then I finally land myself back at my computer where I'd have an open email with like, clearly I was trying to attach something and I have no idea who I'm emailing, what I was doing, what attachment I was after. Don't even know how I got up from the computer. And it was just like torture to, you know, make myself do the things. And especially if it was really detailed, you know, if it was really going to take concentration on something that I just didn't interest me. It was just torture.
Oh my goodness. I feel like you just described my morning. So many times, right, where I like go to open my email and next thing I know, I'm like, where am I? What was I doing?
Yes.
I have to like rein myself back to the original task. Yeah. That's very relatable. But you know, it's funny because I feel like this podcast, this job, this, you know, this path I've been on is the longest I've done anything. And so I'm often now curious through the lens of ADHD. I'm like, why is it so fascinating and why is it so interesting? And I think it's really, it's like you said, it's like that recognizing if something stops being interesting, I just pivot immediately, right? Or I'm like, oh, it's time to like start a new course or something. Like it's I've built it into my job now, as opposed to all of the times in the past where I had started a job and immediately was like, oh God, I've hit a wall and nobody wants to work with me and this is terrible and I'm terrible and I'm a failure. Like all those ways in which I would kind of go to that place of negative self-talk as opposed to being like, no, actually I just need to like light it, find something new to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, coaching feels like a really great career for either, not only for people with ADHD in terms of being coached, but then also as a career for somebody with ADHD, because it has that built-in malleability to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also, you know, combined with the diagnosis and my age, you know, what I find with clients this age is that people begin to wonder if they're doing something that they feel is purposeful, is meaningful. And that's something that I really enjoy about coaching. I feel like I'm doing something meaningful and providing value. And that just becomes, I think, really important as we get older.
Yeah, well said. So yeah, I want to hear about who your clients are, because I know you work specifically with women who are over the age of 50, but are really feeling stuck, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of your ideal clients?
I work with women who are over 50, generally, who are starting over in some way, and it could be literally or just kind of in a sense of identity. So that could be empty nesters who maybe have kind of lost themselves in a mom role for 20 plus years. Many people are able to be mothers and not have that happen, but I know there are many women that kind of have lost themselves in that process. Late in life divorcees, honestly, people with ADHD at diagnosis, because that kind of blows your whole self-identity to pieces. You know, it's just a complete reframe, right? And also just, I think in general at this age, people that are kind of feel like, sense that they're kind of on autopilot, that they're just sort of on default and want to pause and kind of reassess. I think there's something about the age of 50 that is kind of kicks in this like sense of time slipping by, sense of restlessness and an increasing urgency. And that always makes me think of Brene Brown's quote, says like, midlife is when God shakes you on the shoulders and said, we're not fucking around anymore. So yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, and I think also there's sort of a panic, right? I mean, I'm 48, but I have a lot of anxiety about retirement and, you know, what happens if my husband dies or leaves me, right? Like I have a lot of anxiety around who's going to take care of me when I'm old and can't take care of myself, like a lot of fear around loneliness and abandonment that I obviously never experienced when I was younger.
Yeah.
And so I think that plays into a lot of that never feeling like an adult, right? Never sort of feeling like I'm not going to be able to take care of myself much longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I've heard a lot of women over 50 say proactively, I'm beginning to wonder what I want to be when I grow up. And I think that also kind of speaks to the fact, really, that many women have spent decades taking care of other people. And that, you know, that's a whole nother layer, sort of this society and patriarchy and women, and particularly women of our age, my age, who grown up in this culture where meant to serve.
Mm.
And that being selfless is something that's put on a pedestal as some sort of saint. But selfless means not having a self. And I think that's a tragedy, not something to be celebrated. So I think that underlies, you know, everything with women in this age group, and then coupled with, you know, just this sense of time going by and, you know, do I enjoy what I'm doing? What am I going to do in the future? And is it meaningful? And where do I begin? You know, and I think I have found that a lot of people are thinking about these things increasingly, but then kind of slip back into autopilot and then find themselves in the same place, you know, a year later.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think also this is where the executive function piece comes in for a lot of us, which is we have so much anxiety about the future because we really struggle with planning and we struggle with, you know, organization. And so we're experiential learners for the most part. And so I think it can be really difficult to think like, I don't know what my next steps are, and why talking it out and having a coach or a therapist who can really kind of allow you to sort through the trash, as I like to call it, and kind of like verbally work through, okay, what would my next steps look like? And you know, what are those, the planning and the problem solving and the things that we really, really struggle with on our own, and why we kind of feel like, oh God, I have all this anxiety because I can't figure out, like, I don't feel any sense of confidence about how I would approach some of these bigger life issues. If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think that there's a tendency to kind of have anxiety if you don't know the end point or how to get there, and feeling like that, you know, you need to have a plan to get from A to Z versus kind of figuring out how you can take one step towards Z and create a plan, but you don't have to know how to get to Z to start in that direction.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, I think it's kind of coupled with that sense that we have to figure it all out on our own. And where there's like, how do we begin to unpack where that comes from? I think, like you said, a lot of it comes from how we're socialized, which is like, we have to figure this out. We got to work harder. I just need some time. If I had a couple hours of real focus time, I'd be able to figure this out, as opposed to really kind of getting to that point where it's like, no, this isn't something I can figure out on my own. I need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have ADHD, it can often feel overwhelming to find the right treatment. And then when you finally do get an appointment with your local clinician, there's no guarantee that they will have the adequate background or understanding of ADHD in adults, especially in women. You might end up leaving that appointment more confused and disheartened than when you entered. That's where Done comes in. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD. With experienced clinicians who know exactly what to look for, you can start getting personalized care as soon as today or tomorrow. Take a free one-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Visit get.donefirst.com/podcast to learn more. Again, that's get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn ADHD into your strength. I'd like to take a moment to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know I am a big proponent of therapy. Therapy provides me the best opportunity for verbal processing, something that is so important for my kind of brain and my sense of self. What I love about BetterHelp is that it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy that's done securely online from the comfort of your home. They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and it's available for clients worldwide. So you get access to a broad range of expertise that might not be available to you locally. It also tends to be more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. If you visit their website and read their testimonials, there are actually quite a few reviews that specifically reference help with ADHD. As a special offer for listeners of the Women and ADHD podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month. Simply sign up at betterhelp.com/womenADHD. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/womenADHD. And there's a link in the show notes. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. The other thing I love is that your coaching is called Triple Moon Coaching. Can you tell me a little bit more about the Triple Moon?
Yeah. So I was searching for something that sort of inherently symbolized women because that's my, client base, and a rebirth, kind of a cycle of life in a rebirth. So I looked at all sorts of, there's so many, flowers and trees and animals and so many things. But when I saw the meaning of triple moon and the symbol, I just kind of knew that was it. Because it represents the three phases of the moon, represent the three phases of a woman's life, from the maiden to the mother to the crone, as she's often called, but also matriarch. And I kind of prefer the matriarch word. And so I sort of think of my work as being straddling the two, from mother to matriarch, and kind of holding the both at the same time. And, and the matriarch serves as sort of a guide of a wisdom for previous selves. And then, that's the connection with the lunar cycles to women, also kind of brought in the spiritual nature because I am a holistic coach. So, I look at the mind, body, and soul as one. We kind of work from the inside out. And so that really just kind of, for me, captured the essence of what I'm doing and who I work with.
I love it. It's such beautiful imagery. And I really love thinking about and embracing the idea of cyclical energy, cyclical productivity, cyclical progress, right? As opposed to feeling like we are always supposed to be on this upward trajectory, which is, I think, misconception. And so, right, like I think there's something very organic and like fertile about cyclical energy.
Yeah. And I think as you say that, I'm just thinking there's also, I think for me, maybe it's something that flows well with ADHD. It's cyclical and fluid and, because things that are just very rigid just don't work well. Just thinking about planning things and calendars and I don't know, it just seems like something more organic like that is, what am I trying to say? Is more in line with our energy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think oftentimes we, especially when it comes to energy, like hyperfocus and burnout, right? Like it's really, my ADHD diagnosis has really helped me have a lot more grace around when I'm recharging and when I need to just lie around and rest, because chances are I was just in a phase of like intense energy. And while I love the intense energy, it's not sustainable. And I think sometimes we forget that we need to stop and rest. And because we, you know, we feel so alive when we are in our hyper-focus phase and we're like spending, you know, hours and hours and hours building a new website or, you know, creating a new business or something. But at the same time, rather than when you want to be doing those things, but you can't get off the couch, I feel like I'm so much nicer to myself with those phases, as agonizing as they can be sometimes, to be like, no, this is where you rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the big big things of self-compassion for me. It was so liberating to understand the couch paralysis. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. That was one of the things that I couldn't just figure out, because, you know, I'd have, list of things to do that I wanted to do. It included things I really wanted to do. But the more time I had, this was even worse on weekends, the more pressure I had. And I just soon was paralyzed and just lying on the couch, can't do anything. And then you just beat yourself up. Like, what is wrong with me? Why can I not get up off the couch? I don't feel depressed. That was the sort of the missing piece, right? Like, I'm like, I don't feel depressed, but I cannot do anything. And this is ridiculous. And that was just so liberating with the diagnosis to understand that and be able to put that in context. Yeah.
Right? Because the mystery is solved. And then it's like, then you don't feel, you're not constantly going back to that place of what's wrong with me, right? You're sort of like, oh, okay, I see why this is happening.
Yes.
And well, you know, it might be frustrating. At least there's a sense of like, okay, now I can, with the breadcrumbs, right? I can retrace my steps a little bit and figure out how this happened and then learn, you know, how I can better manage this, right?
Right.
Or not, just enjoy binging a new show or something.
Yeah, just lean into it and know that, right, you know, it's part of it, and not fight it and not beat yourself up over it, and just go with the flow.
Right? Yeah. I feel like I use that analogy too, the riding the wave and riding the current a lot more than I used to. Now, one thing you talk about too with coaching is the right brain exploration and kind of really like leaning into and fostering some of that right brain creativity. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that is and how that works?
Yeah, I just, I kind of fold in my artistic background with the holistic approach to kind of have this creative framework where, you know, there's a number of right brain activities that we can do. And that's tailored to kind of the specific, unique, you know, ways that a client may learn, whether they're kind of visual or, you know, like to write or, you know, so there's a number of ways you can kind of tap into the right brain, but it allows us to get beyond thinking, to get beyond overthinking and just trying to figure something out in our head, and kind of access this sort of, nonverbal genius and kind of getting to your soul. And that's also ties into the holistic piece that, you know, we say we want to, you know, help women get their souls and their goals. But when you can work with the right brain and left brain together, you're able to make new connections and kind of come up with solutions in ways that you're not really able to get to with just the staying in like the left brain analytical side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. And it also kind of lends to the same idea we were talking about of like having a guide, having a coach, having somebody who can kind of get you through some of this stuff that we might not be able to do on our own because we get trapped in that just do it, just try harder, just think harder. I think you said that on your website, just thinking harder. And I was like, oh yeah, I feel that. Right? I come across that, right? So many times I'm like, I just need to figure this out.
Yeah. And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this kind of lets you loosen up a little bit and, you know, and people don't have to be creative at all. to benefit from this. You know, there's exercises and, you know, first of all, everybody's creative anyhow. A lot of people believe that they're not. Everybody is creative. But some people, I think, are scared off by that. And it's not like a third grade art class where you're going to draw your tree wrong and be shamed forever. So there's no wrong way to do it.
I love that. So now, looking back through this lens, what would you say you love about your ADHD?
I love the multi-passionate part of it. I mean, it's just so fascinating to be involved in so many things and learn so many things. And I love talking to people with ADHD, and I think we're also drawn to each other because of the conversations we can have. And, you know, it means that there's this continual need or passion to keep learning. So I love to learn. I think we all do. And I think also that's really good for the brain, you know, for longevity and holding off dementia. So there's great benefits too. But I'd say that's probably my favorite thing. I do really like it when I'm in hyperfocus, other than just the passionate part, but just, I don't know, feeling super productive and just being able to, you know, I don't know, blow through a list of 25 things in half an hour and feel like you're on top of the world.
yeah, right. It's like all plates spinning, all guns firing, and yeah, it does feel good.
It does feel good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd love to ask the question about whether if you could rename ADHD to something else. Have you thought about what you would call it?
I have thought about that. What did I think it was, I think it was like euphoric selective attention discord or dissonance.
Ooh, okay.
So it's like, I was kind of coming from the angle of like, you know, as you've said many times, it's not really attention deficit at all. It's the kind of the hyperfocus. And so it was kind of getting around the piece that we can really focus on something as long as we're interested in it, you know, and then with the hyperfocus. So it's sort of like euphoric selective attention, but then there's this discord because it's not very practical, right? Like if you can only focus on the things that you're super passionate about, then you get to the executive dysfunctioning problems.
Right. Yeah. I really like the name discord because we've talked about how disorder feels a little too clinical. But at the same time, like it really can be quite debilitating. And so syndrome doesn't feel debilitating enough. And so, but yeah, discord sort of really gets to the heart of like, well, there's a dysregulation there. It's like, it's not acting in a way that I feel like I have control over or that is necessarily always positive.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I kind of played around with a bunch of words and that's kind of exactly how I landed on that. Or dissonance was kind of similar, but yeah, disorder sounds just so medical, clinical, negative.
Yeah. And I'm curious, how is your daughter doing in terms of her diagnosis and college? Because I know that's a really, really difficult time for a lot of us. At least for me, it was.
Yeah, she's doing well. She's in Spain right now on a semester abroad. So she, you know, it's a completely new environment. I think she has some medication with her, but she's not taking it. And so the way she's managing it right now, I think, is if she really needs to get something done and she cannot focus and she just, you know, can't do it, she might take an Adderall so that she could focus and just knock something out. But so she's kind of using it more as need basis and going to regular therapy and taking fish oil supplements and, you know.
And on the adventure of a lifetime. So that's that's got to be exciting. Yeah, that's awesome. Is it just the one daughter?
I have an older daughter who's in Portugal right now, actually in graduate school.
Wow. So. Okay. Gosh, I love Portugal. Okay. And so what about your other daughter? Is she curious or is she very clearly neurotypical or?
I don't think she has ADHD. Both my kids have anxiety, which, you know, which is not surprising. My mother has generalized anxiety or disorder. I think I do as well. So, but she doesn't, you know, cause I've gone back through the filter of what I know now really and gone back and I don't see that in her. And she's aware of it now too. I mean, she knows now what the symptoms are that we've discovered and she doesn't resonate with it. So, So yeah.
So interesting, right? Going through our family trees and trying to figure out where everybody sits on this spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother's definitely so incredibly ADHD. It's fascinating to think back to my childhood. Like I just have visions of like the kitchen. Like you would go down and she'd have like spoons all over the place, like on the counter. And I just envision so clearly like having a damp paper towel that she's wadded up. That's like, she starts to wipe up some coffee grounds and like maybe a little bit of spaghetti sauce. And then it sits in the middle of the counter just to be forgotten. You know, that was just very regular and talking with a knife, you know, while the burner's on the stove with nothing on it and just gesticulating with the chef's knife. And yeah, she was Hurricane Gladys.
Well, I feel like, you know, I feel like I talk so much about domesticity and women and some of the really difficult struggles. You know, so many of the things that we struggle with are things that we have to do with running a household, right? And as women, a lot of that falls to us. And then I'm like, can you imagine having ADHD and being a mother in like the 60s or even earlier where it was like, your whole, you know, so much more of your life and worth was tied up in a lot of this crap that we all hate. Like it got, yeah, I'm like, God, I have it much better than my parents' generation in terms of what women had to face and make their lives, you know, had to, whatever the word I'm looking for, just like had to be so central to their identity.
Yeah, I really have compassion for my mom when I think back to it because she was a mother in the 60s. She was an only child. She really had no domestic history whatsoever. She was a dancer, studied with Martha Graham, and she came from living in Manhattan in the 50s. And then suddenly somehow was an academic wife, you know, with two kids. She choreographed through my brother's pregnancy and then she would stay at home. And, you know, my father grew up in the Midwest, was expecting pies and all this stuff. And like she just hated to bake and, you know, completely had ADHD and just, you know, flour all over the place. Like we just knew, like, just do not go in the kitchen when mom's in the kitchen. Like just stay clear. And yeah, it must have been just horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And so challenging. Yeah.
My mother, I can't decide. My mother had passed before my diagnosis. And so this, my journey, and like, I so badly want to go back and talk to her about this because sometimes I'm like, God, she must have. But, you know, a lot of it I chalked up to her just being a feminist who was really dissatisfied with mother, you know, with stay-at-home motherhood. And she always was like, had side hustles and always had a, you know, was working on a career. And she put herself through college after she put all of us through university. And so it was like all of these things that I see in her where I'm like, wait, is that ADHD or was she just like a dissatisfied mom?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe that's all it was. But yeah.
Maybe both.
Right? Probably. So now I love this idea of just reinvention. And because you're right, I feel like that's so, I mean, that's what we talk about on this podcast, which is like, it is such a profound rearticulation of who we are in this world when we get this diagnosis. And it's really difficult to explain to other people who don't understand or have gone through this, right? And that's often our partners or our family members. It can feel very lonely a lot of the time when we're not talking to each other and finding each other. So I love your approach in terms of just like recognizing that there is this sense of rebirth, that it's not just about like, oh, well, you know, this is the rest of my life now. I guess I'm trapped here.
Yeah, it's really a complete reframe of your entire life from whenever you get diagnosed to just, yeah, complete reframe. And now with this information, what do you do with it? What does that open up for you? And you can't fix it, but just knowing that you have it and having the understanding and just goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With help. Always with help.
with help. Absolutely. Yes. You definitely need best to have support. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on this new venture and coaching. I think it's a wonderful endeavor. And I think I'm obviously a big fan of coaching and I think it's so important. So, how can people find you and reach out to you and work with you?
Well, I have a website, which is, triplemooncoach.com, and it's coach, not coaching, because that domain was not available. So triplemooncoach.com. And then I'm also on Instagram at triplemoon_coaching. Mm-hmm. And I'm on LinkedIn as well. Those are kind of the platforms I'm using. There's, you know, a lot of information on the website and ways to book a discovery call. So right now I'm also offering kind of a complimentary combination discovery call where we can talk about coaching, what it is, what it isn't, answer any questions they may have, get to know each other a little bit, see if it's a good fit. And if so, talk about what the programs are, but also including a 30-minute coaching session so that someone's able to experience that as well. So that can be booked either on my website or there's a link tree in my Instagram or in my Instagram highlights under Work With Me.
Awesome. It is a beautiful website, by the way. Kudos to your designer. It's just gorgeous. I really enjoyed it. And it feels like it's almost like I just really liked the journey of going through your website and reading all the things about you. And I'm like, usually I have no attention span for copy on websites. Usually I'm like, get to the point. But it's like really, it was very beautiful and lovely. And I really enjoyed it. It was like an experience, like a narrative experience.
Thank you. I appreciate the feedback. And I could not be happier. This, I worked with this woman named Lise, L-I-I-S. She's with her own company. She's an entrepreneur at Sparkle Creative Studio. Mm-hmm. If anyone is looking for branding or a website, highly recommend. She's just a joy to work with and really responsive and so creative. She's just brilliant. So I could not be more happy with the site. Yeah. She's great.
Yeah, I know. I definitely was like, ooh, I went down and looked at some of her other work too, because I was like, ooh, she checks a lot of boxes. Yeah. Okay. Good. Shout out to Lise. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I really enjoyed listening to your perspective. I feel like, we kind of touched on a lot of the topics that are specific to this late in life, mature diagnosis experience that many, that I certainly felt like I had, and, you know, what kind of makes it feel different when you're diagnosed this late in life, as opposed to say in your 20s, but at the same time, how important it can be, right? To really follow that diagnosis and not just listen to your doctor if they're like, eh, it's what, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, who cares, right?
Yeah. And I think that it's so common now to have late diagnoses. I think there's so many women that are midlife and above that are undiagnosed. And I know for me, like I didn't know anything about it because there's just this association with boys that can't sit in their chairs. You know, I don't think it's widespread knowledge of the way that it can present in women and in adult women and what that means. So I just think there's, as the awareness is growing, I think more and more people, you know, in midlife are getting diagnosed at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And connecting the dots. But also, I think there's something about midlife that is one of the developmental like catalysts for a diagnosis, because we're coming at this, a lot of these stages, like you said, of the what's next. And I feel like I don't have focus and, you know, all of those things that really bring up the ADHD traits more than they might in other aspects, of, you know, in other phases of our life. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
I appreciate you having me on so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And thanks for letting me share my story. I just love your podcast and will continue to binge listen to it. So really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's been a real pleasure. And there you have it. Thank you for listening, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Women and ADHD podcast. Also, you know we ADHDers crave feedback, and I would really appreciate hearing from you, the listener. If you're a fan of the podcast, please take a moment to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Audible. And if that feels like too much, and I get it, then just take a few seconds right now to give me a 5-star rating. Or share this episode on your own social media to help reach more women who maybe have yet to discover and lean into this gift of neurodivergency, and they may still be struggling and don't even know why. And if you'd like to find out more about me and my one-on-one coaching for women with ADHD, head over to womenandadhd.com/coaching. And you can always find that link in the show notes. I'll see you next week when I interview another amazing woman who discovered that she is not lazy or crazy or broken, but she has ADHD, and she is now on the path to understanding her neurodiversity and finally using this gift to her advantage. Take care till then.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, before we get started with today's episode, have you heard the awesome news? Llama Life now has an iOS app so you can take it with you wherever you go. I have been using Llama Life consistently on my computer for a year now. A year! That's unprecedented. That's like a lifetime in ADHD terms. And now with the new iOS app, I'm able to seamlessly transition between my computer and my iPhone so that my favorite little productivity coach is with me whenever I need it. So what is so special about Llama Life? Well, for starters, it's not a fancy new calendar or planner or complicated productivity management system. It's a time-boxing, single-tasking program that easily integrates with your already existing organizational systems. If you're like me and you struggle with time blindness or maintaining focus throughout your day, then this is the app for you. I love Llama Life because it's simple, effective, and beautifully designed. And dare I say, it makes even the most mundane chore more fun and colorful. If you want to check out the iOS app for yourself, head to the App Store for a free trial and start enjoying that Llama Life for yourself.